we want to go back to the book of Genesis chapter 19. We read you the account of Lot and his experience in Sodom from the first 17 verses of that chapter. And we're not going to reread those tonight. We're going to read verse 17 to kind of launch us out to where we want to pick up this evening about the experience of Lot. In the 17th verse of the 19th chapter, this is the angel talking to Lot. It came to pass when they had brought them, Lot's family, his wife, himself, and the two daughters forth, when he had brought them forth abroad. Brothers and sisters, as you look at that verse, does it help you realize that if you're going to get out of a compromised life, it'll be the power of God that brings you forth? You know, God could have worded that any way He wanted to. But He chose to word it in such a way that you understand that the angels brought Lot forth out of Sodom. And it's a wonderful lesson to us as God's people that when we get ourselves in compromised trouble, it'll be God that'll bring us forth. And He has every praise due to Him when it happens. There's probably not a one of us here that have not gotten in a place of compromise in our lives. And if we'll just reflect back, we'll realize that we got out of that terrible and sticky situation that we were in, got out of those problems, got away and freed from that kind of chain and enslavement by the power of God. So the angels bring them forth, and when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." If God is pleased to extricate us from a situation of compromise, His advice here is really good. Flee. Don't look back and don't go back. That's a good piece of advice from the Lord here to old Lot, and it'll work for every child of God that has ever lived. This morning we looked at Lot's situation and we pointed out the fact that Lot was in the clutches of haters of God and men who had perverse notions and ideas and dared to tread upon forbidden territory in regard to their transgression, offending the angels of God that came down to look upon what was going on in Sodom. And as the angels told us this morning in our text, God had sent them to destroy Sodom. And so here Lot was in that situation, and the angels draw him out of there, take him by the hand and lead him out of there before they destroy Sodom. Now, we asked the question this morning after we looked briefly at Lot's situation. We asked the question, how was it that Lot came to be living in Sodom? What made him do it? How did he get there? And we went over some facts about his life that suggest some things as to what would have led him there, although there's no explicit language in the Bible that tells us, well, Lot went down to Sodom and started living in the city because of so-and-so. We know, and I pointed out this morning, that Lot chose the well-watered plain of Jordan when he could have really divided it up with Abraham, and both of them had plenty. He chose the whole thing for himself, and I pointed out that this probably was the big misstep right there, because he was looking out for number one and never gave any wise thought to how and why he would want to go down there and whether or not he wanted to take that in the way that he did. He was just thinking about, well, you know what, I'm sure he must have been thinking about, I've got all these cattle and now I won't have to worry about any more. I can take my ease, eat, drink, and be merry, as it were, because I'm going to have enough pasture, enough water for all my flocks from now on, and I'll let Abram do what he wants to with his flocks and his family and so forth. And so Lot was looking out for number one. As a result of it, he went down to the well-watered plains of Jordan and got locked into the situation down there, and somehow or another ended up living in Sodom. And I pointed out this morning also that there was nothing in Lot's background that suggested that he would go directly to the city and buy himself a home in the city, which he did. But I pointed out that he was raised in a tent, that he was raised by conservatives, and he lived among conservatives. And so, and when you look at his upbringing, there's nothing to suggest that he's going to go off down there and take up residence in New York City. But he did. And so the result was that he found himself in trouble with the men of the city, and he found himself in a place that he could not move. There was no wiggle room in what was laid upon him when the men of the city decided that they wanted to create a great transgression against those angels that had come to visit him. In our second part this morning, we covered one idea from it. We wanted to ask the question, what did Lot gain and what did he lose by going down to Sodom? And we said that we wanted to look at that because it'll give us great insights into what we can expect to occur when we compromise. And as we begin looking at it, I pointed out that Lot gained himself a nice house in the city with a permanent address, but it was a moralist city, and it was actually a cursed city. And at the same time that he gained that nice house in the city with all of its conveniences, he lost the personal liberty to select a spiritually healthy environment for his family. That's what he got, and that's what he lost. And we're going to pursue that further this evening and look at some other things that he lost and gained. So as we think about what Lot has happened to him here in our chapter, we want to next of all say that not only did Lot lose that personal liberty to choose a spiritually healthy place for his family, but he gained an opportunity, and I say gain because only because some people see it as gain. He gained an opportunity to expose his family to urban life. There are a lot of conveniences in urban life, and Sodom, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to view it so much as an urbanized community, but as a type of how it is when we get into compromise. And so in compromise, there are always conveniences. In compromise, there will always be something that gives us advantage and opportunity in the world of temporal things. In compromise, we'll always have the opportunity to make life easier for ourselves. Isn't that a whole lot of the time where compromise comes from? It comes from the human desire to just make things easier, to just be able to get along better. And so we tend to find that compromise has its greatest temptation because it is so attractive to provide conveniences to us. And that, I'm sure, must have been one of the attractive features of Sodom to Lot. All the running water and flush toilet and the paved driveway and all the things that Sodom represented to Lot ought to be able to represent to us types of temptations in any kind of compromise that we are tempted with in our lives. So here's Lot down there exposing his family to urban life, and whether it's bad or good to expose your family to urban life, you be the judge. But some people believe that city life is the best life, and they're willing to put up with concentrated evil in such a place, to have other things that are associated with this. And I can't help but believe that that was one of the attractive features that Lot saw that drew him into the city. It was just convenient, as I've said. And so there he is. But what did he lose in exposing his family to this moralist urban life? His Sodom was the immorality and the wickedness of those people who lived there. And what he lost was he lost control of what his family was exposed to. And brothers and sisters, may I just say, whatever your Sodom may be, whatever temptation may come up before you in your life, it may well present an opportunity that will expose your family to things that are not right, things that are wickedness. And you may lose control of what you will expose your family to simply by the compromise, the spiritual compromise that you make in your life. Now, if we then, brothers and sisters, like Lot, begin to associate or socialize with a culture where we treat the wickedness of the wicked as just ordinary, and I believe there was some culpability on Lot's part in this. I believe as you look at how Lot speaks to these men and what he does, being a righteous man and a gracious man, you can excuse him for how he treated those buffoons who came to the door. But if you look at the wording and the way he handled it, you almost have to recognize that he began to treat the wickedness of Sodom like it was just business as usual. And when compromise takes us to the place to treat sin and wickedness like it's business as usual, we will be in trouble right then and there, and we can expect ourselves and our family to be exposed to the wrong kinds of things when that happens. And when we find ourselves in a place like that, brothers and sisters, let's not expect our children to think that there's anything aberrant or immoral or twisted about those around us who live all around us that we take for granted, that we treat as though there was nothing going on. Problem with compromise is that once you've compromised, you also lose your testimony. It's really hard to preach and teach or witness against the very thing that you've compromised in. Lot moved into Sodom. You'll note as you read this, if you'll just read it again, you'll note that those men of Sodom, they reminded him that he had lost his testimony. As they said, this sojourner moved in here in our midst and he thinks he's going to boss us around. He thinks he's going to tell us right from wrong. We're going to do worse to him than we would to the two men that came in here. Well now, brothers and sisters, that's a voice of wickedness that tells us that Lot has lost his testimony. And we can expect to do the same thing if we compromise as Lot had done. Now, we notice that Lot also seems to have treated the behavior of the citizens of Sodom as though it's business as usual. But we also notice that these people, these inhabitants of Sodom, I believe that we can see that they treated wickedness and considered wickedness to be the social norm of the day. And Lot approved it by living in their midst. That was his compromise. And he exposed his family to a kind of aberrant, a kind of twisted lifestyle behavior that told his daughters, it's okay. Nothing wrong here. And you might say, well, Brother Myers, how did you ever get to that conclusion? Do I need to remind you that two of his daughters married Sodom men? Now, those men were raised in Sodom. Do you think two men raised in Sodom, as it's described here in the Bible, will have an upbeat, normal, level-headed, God-like, or even moral behavior pattern? I don't think so. And when we compromise, we may get mixed up with people who consider wickedness to be the social norm. And if we do, and our children think that's just normal, that kind of behavior, let's not be shocked, because that's exactly what they will do. Lot, I don't believe, taught his children as he should. And probably if he'd have tried, having compromised and moved in there and made neighbors out of those Sodomites, they would have probably laughed in his face. Let me just ask all of you a question and try to keep in mind again, and it's a little hard to, because it looks like I'm talking about how wicked urbanized life is. I'm not. I'm talking about how when you compromise, you can expect to be surrounded by the wicked. Is there anybody here that would think that Sodom would have been a great place to raise their kids? And in the same way, living a life of compromise is no place to raise our kids. And some of us learn that the hard way. And that may be one of the reasons this preacher can preach this message. We need to understand that when we compromise, we can lose control of what our family is exposed to. Now, there's something else he gained. He lived in Sodom and he gained the what I call the wherewithal, the ability and the opportunity to be gracious and to exercise gracious things for worthy visitors who came through the city. There came those angels. He was right there at the gate, Johnny on the spot. When he saw them coming, he got busy right then to take them into his house, to be a really great neighbor to them and to take care of them and to feed them and protect them so they could be on their way the next day. So he had the opportunity and he had the mental frame to do good to those who were visitors to the city. So he did gain that. That's one thing he could do in this wicked, wicked city. He could kind of shield people that came through and give them a place to stay overnight and keep them out of trouble out on the street. But you know what he lost by gaining that? He totally lost the ability and the power to manage and enhance the visit of those who came. And that's what it teaches us in these first 17 verses, because regardless of the fact that he had the greatest, the finest amenities possible, I guarantee you that he had in mind a really soft bed and a really great supper for those angels. But you know what? They didn't get to participate too much in any of that, being tormented all evening long by a bunch of wicked men not trying to knock down the door. He gained an opportunity to help those visitors who might come to the city, but he lost the power to help them out at all, to make it something that was engaging, to make it something that would be enhanced when they came, to make it something enjoyable, to make it something worth their while and something they would remember. Because he was right in the middle of his compromise. And you know, those men of the city represent his compromise in a great way. Now, there's something else that he gained, and along with it, he lost something. By living in Sodom, by becoming a citizen of Sodom, he gained the ability to negotiate, apparently. If you go back and read verses 6 through 8, you get a quick glimpse of Lot's negotiations with the men of Sodom. I know, it's sickening. It is. But Lot was a negotiator. He had talking points that he could present to the men of Sodom. And he knew what level of conversation they were interested in. He knew what to communicate about. He got into a place in the familiar environs of Sodom where he could talk to these men about things they understood, and he tried to use that. Another compromise, if you will. Because he tried to parlay with his daughters to save those angels from degradation. But the point I'm making is he gained the ability to negotiate, but he lost the ability to stand his ground and to trust in God for solutions. Now, how do I know that? Because he tried to negotiate on his terms with those wicked men about not doing anything to those angels. And in that negotiation, Lot does the most dishonorable thing I can ever imagine. Now, I'm an American and I understand that my view perhaps is different about the females in my family than maybe some others. But the man offered his daughters in exchange for the two angels to these Sodomites. Brothers and sisters, that tells me that he had lost his perspective on morality. So while he gained the power to negotiate with those people of Sodom in his compromised condition, he lost the ability to stand his ground and trust in God for solutions. Tried to make up his own solution. And there's something else that he lost there that really reaches down into my heart. He lost sight of decency. And who wouldn't? And that's why I can say to you that probably his daughters lost sight of decency. And I'm going to show you, I've already showed you half of his daughters lost sight of decency by marrying those Sodomite men. But all of you know the story that the other two daughters lost their decency, their sense of decency also, when they get out on the mountain with Dad and do what they do. And so he lost sight of decency. He lost the ability to stand his ground and trust God for solutions, and literally gave his family up to indecency as a result of that compromise. Now, there's something else he gained. And I can acknowledge and admire this about him, although what he gained here is caused by a little bit different source than one could hope for. And that is that he gained the disgust, even the hatred, of these perverted inhabitants of the city. In verse 9, they tell him plainly that he's despicable to them. Stand back! They said again, this one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. So they were disgusted with him, and they despised him. They perhaps even hated him the way that they said that. And so that was something to gain and something to be gained if we're to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and set the example that He set. Because Jesus plainly told us, don't think it strange that if the world hates you, because they hated me. And so, Lot gained that, but I've got a feeling they didn't hate him because he was the icon of righteousness before them, but rather because he opposed them. He resisted what they wanted to do. And then in that gaining of the hatred of these men, he lost something. He lost his wife, because when they got out there, away from Sodom, the Bible tells us she looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. So he lost his wife. He gained some stuff, but he lost far more. He lost his wife. He lost his two married daughters. I guess you can say he lost his two sons-in-law. They were like the inhabitants of Sodom. I don't know that that was much of a loss. You might say, Brother Myers, that's pretty cruel and cold. I want to tell you something, brothers and sisters, that I've learned in this short life of mine. Haters of God that have made a lifestyle out of hating God and opposing that which is righteous have one thing in mind, and that is to cause as much grief and sorrow and damage to the people of God as possible, and they don't even know it. And they have no intention of turning to the Lord. They have no intention of acknowledging righteousness. And so, he lost his two daughters that were married. He lost his wife. He lost his condo, brothers and sisters. And to add to that, he lost the ability back there in Sodom to shake the moral character of his two unmarried daughters. I'm not going to read it. We're a little short on time. But if you go back, going down in this chapter and read verses 31 through 36, you remember the story. The daughters got him out there on the mountain, got him drunk, and got with child by him. Those two tribes that came forth from Lot's daughters plagued Israel all the days of the history of Israel that we read about. The Moabites and the Ammonites. Most of you are familiar with the name. But he lost the moral character of his two unmarried daughters, as well as losing his wife and his two daughters and his condo in town. And there's something else that he lost, brothers and sisters. He gained a really great section of country when he went to Sodom, went down there into the plain. A really beautiful, fertile, wonderful section of country to grow his livestock industry in. But that day, he lost his entire livestock industry. He lost his entire means of finance, means of livelihood. Because the Bible tells us in verse 25 of this chapter that when God destroyed Sodom and the cities round about, that He overthrew those cities and it says all the plain and all that grew upon the ground. Now you can read that any way you want to, but I want to tell you something. Sheep and cattle aren't going to graze bare ground. And they're going to starve. And I dare say the way fire and brimstone rained down in that valley, it's likely that a big bunch, if not all, of those cattle got hit. So Lot lost everything that day. Yeah, he gained some stuff. None of it was worth anything. And none of it was worth what he lost. So Lot compromised, moving into Sodom. And as a result, he became victimized and chained by that compromise. Now let's say just a few words as we close this. First of all, we started this morning pointing out that compromise can lead to a kind of slavery. And I think we can see here that Lot became enslaved to the lifestyle and the obligations that he had set himself up for by his compromise down there with the men of Sodom. And at the end of our story, if you read on through the rest of this chapter, you find that at the end of the story about Lot, he was still involved in and victimized by the very things that compromise brought him to. I mean, think about it. He said, I want to go to Zoar, Lord. The Lord said, go on. He stayed in Zoar how long? Seemed like it was like he walked down one street and out the other side, because he went directly to the mountains after he went to Zoar. And there he lived in Zoar, in the mountains, essentially in poverty. And there his two daughters commit transgression with him. And God leaves us with the account of Lot, where he has nothing, lost everything. And so he's still shackled, isn't he? In the same way, in a sense, that he was in Sodom. Still shackled by the compromise that he committed. Now I think the lesson here for each one of us, I really think it needs to be that if we compromise what we have with the Lord, we can expect to be shackled in some way by it. And we can expect to be victimized by our own compromise. And there's no getting out of it. We just have to suffer through it and look to God for a better day. I think that's what we can take away from here. We can expect there to be pain on follow-up when we compromise our spiritual things. Around home, I have a pair of Crocs that I put. Any of y'all wear those Crocs? They're little, feel like foam rubber shoes with a bunch of cracks and holes in them. I wear those Crocs around a lot, just doing stuff. And sometimes I'll have those Crocs on. I'll go out and I'll shovel some gravel out there doing something, trying to firm something up or something. Shovel gravel, and the gravel will be a little damp. And as I shovel, it hasn't been but a few minutes till I get a bunch of little pebbles in my Crocs. You ever notice that those Crocs, when you get pebbles in them and they're damp, you can't shake them out. You got to wash them out. So when I go out there and I do something silly like that, I'm bound to have to limp back to the house to get under the water faucet, water hydrant out there, and take my Crocs off and wash out the shoes and wash off my feet before I can get rid of the pain of the little pebbles all sticking in my feet all the time. And that's kind of the way it is with compromise. When we compromise, brothers and sisters, after it's over, there's going to be pebbles in our Crocs. It really is. And we'll have to live with it. We'll just have to make the best of it until opportunity comes to purge all that out. That's the way it is. And as God's people, we really need to think of that every time we come to this crossroads where there's an opportunity to compromise. Should I move into Sodom? And by that I mean, should I step into this compromise? Or should I stay right where I'm at, faithful to the Lord, out here on the plain, and not get involved with the wickedness that compromise is going to lead to? When we get to that crossroads, let's just remember Lot's story and what happened to him. The real lesson to learn, though, is that when we come to the crossroads where we have the choice to be faithful to God or to compromise for some fickle earthly advantage, we'll receive blessings probably we can't possibly imagine from the Lord by saying, like Joshua did years ago, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord and we will not compromise. I think that's a lesson that we need to take home with us. Anne Rand, a great writer, she wrote Atlas Shrugged. And if you haven't read it, it's been highly recommended. I've looked at some excerpts from it. I'm going to get the book and read it. But Ayn Rand made a statement about compromise once upon a time, a few years back. And it really summarizes the effect of compromise. She said, in any compromise between good and evil, it is only evil that can profit. In that transfusion of blood which drains the good to feed the evil, the compromise is the transmitting rubber tube. And that pretty much tells the story. A lot of compromise. I don't know how long he had to live with that after he left out there and moved out on the mountain. But I'm sure that he suffered the same kind of pain and remorse that some of us have suffered and maybe suffer now in our lives as a result of past compromises. Let's not be like Lot. Let's be like Joshua. May God bless us to understand that compromise can only bring sorrow and only evil gains from it.